Now, what is your dream? Because there's nothing you can't do. And let nothing hold you back.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis. You know what made Christianity? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. We ought to be celebrating that every day of the year, because the resurrection of Jesus Christ says that we've been raised with him. I want you to call a friend, tell them to turn that television on. They're going to be blessed by this wonderful message. It's a resurrection, not a typical message. It's not typical, but you are going to be blessed by it. So let's go into part one right now, this great message, and receive from God, because you ought to be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. Watch this now. I want to read St. John chapter 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh, and I'm reading out of the King James Version, Mary Magdalene, early when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she run and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, that John, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, John, and came to the sepulchre. Now I'm going to read a little bit. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. Notice this. I wonder why Peter wasn't. You know, since he was the head, the first pope. Maybe like Pope Francis. Might have ate a little too much pasta. Like, can't you leave a man alone for God's sake? Did y'all see that on television? They say he need to cut back. He's eating too much pasta and pizza. I love the Cardinal of New York. He said, Father, Holy Father, I would never give you any advice, but I'll give you this. Get another doctor. I thought that was funny myself. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, seeth the linen cloth lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Notice Jesus was very organized. Everything he does is organized. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. So something happened there. He went in, saw, and believed. So is it possible that Peter went in but didn't believe? Because why wouldn't they say that? You see, the difference between John and Peter at this moment, one has moral courage, the other one has physical courage. Peter had physical courage. Look you right in the face and tell you how the cow eat the cabbage, like they say in South Louisiana. But he's a little, he go in that tomb, look around, but because they wasn't expecting to meet him. Because Christianity was done away with right there. It was over. Peter got 7 converts with 4 words. He said, I go a fishing. And 7 of them said, we go with you. It was over. But now this is a new day. Now John goes in and sees this and says, he has risen. I want to keep reading here. Verse 9. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Now Jesus had told them that all during his 3 years of ministry, but they didn't quite understand it in the scripture. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. See, she didn't go in, she just stooped down and looked. And see if 2 angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Now here's where I want to get to. Not a typical resurrection message. She, supposing him to be the gardener. This was Joseph of Arimathea's gardener who took care of Joseph's tomb. It's springtime. Things are blooming. You see what I'm saying? He's taking care. You don't take care of a garden in the winter. The soil is resting. But in springtime, you got to go cut and clip and clean the place out and so that growth can grow without weeds choking it out. She thinks he's a gardener. Why? Because she's not expecting to meet him. Even though Jesus said, you kill this temple, I'll be back in 3 days. Not a typical resurrection message. Everybody Jesus preached to didn't believe he was getting out of that grave. The first one to actually believe that it was John, the disciple in whom God loved. He walked in and he believed. Where was the Holy Mother? Think for a minute. Listen, and they're not being critical now. I just want you to understand. Where was the Holy Mother? You think she'd be with the other Mary? Because she didn't think neither that he would come out. Everybody is sad, including Mary Magdalene. But she was so devoted to Jesus because he cast them demons and set her free that she came out of respect and honor to his sepulcher. How many times Jesus has walked around you and you thought he was a gardener? How many people today that will go to church on Easter Sunday and see a gardener instead of the true Christ? See, because a lot of people know about God, but do you know God? That's the difference. To know him, not just believe in him. Even the devil believes. How many times did the Spirit of God in the form of Christ has walked by people, but they just saw it as a gardener instead of the Son of the living God? You know, I want you to think about that, ladies and gentlemen. It's so powerful to understand God's word. He's present and he's calling your name. Do you recognize him? Think about that for a minute. Let me ask you another question. Would you have expected to meet Jesus at the tomb? That's perplexing, isn't it? Everything God does is perplexing to the mind. Why? The intellect can't receive it. See, that's what a lot of people don't understand. See, they're trying to understand God from a natural standpoint of view when he's a spirit. And you, a spirit, housed in a soul and clothed in a body. So you deal with him on the spiritual level. Now, it gets so powerful that it'll get into the physical level. The things of God must be received through the spirit, through a renewed soul. What is the renewed soul? The mind, the will, and the emotions. And then a crucified body, which means this, that sin does not lord over you. Oh, no, think about that. Condemnation does not lord over you. See, people think, you know, when they feel bad, I'm convicted. No, condemnation makes you feel bad. Conviction makes you see the truth. And when you see the truth, you go, oh, I'm not going to do that anymore. You see what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, you flow. But a lot of times, people preach condemnation, and they think it's conviction, and it's not. I'm starting to preach here. I can't help myself. I got to bring you back into the message in just a moment to make you understand that power of that resurrection. Man, I think about that every day of my life. You know, when I pray for all of you people, and I literally do every day of my life. Now, I'm not just saying that to make you think I'm saying something here. I literally pray for people because the world needs prayer. But people need Jesus Christ. This world is crazy. You know it and I know it. But when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, when you walk in that anointing, he can fix things. I can't help myself, man. This is a powerful message. I want to take you back into the message right now. You're going to learn something again. Be blessed as you see this message and receive. She's supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him or took him, tell me where thou you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her. See, you can't get a revelation of God until life speaks. Till your name is called. And he's calling now, every time you go into, he is calling your name. He says, Mary, she turned herself. Now watch this, so she was walking away. And said to them, Rabboni. Now she's still thinking of him as a rabbi. No, he's the resurrection and the life. So you can be so close to Jesus and still not see the power of who he is. She calls him rabbi. When she should have said, my God, the Son of God. Rabbi, which is to say master. I want to stop right there and I want you to write this down. We gain spiritual light at the expense of intellectual perplexity. Everything I'm preaching this morning, the secular world thinks is garbage. They think it's foolish. As I said earlier, because the natural man receiveth not the things of God because they foolishness unto him. What evidence can we give them? The best evidence for the resurrection of the Lord is the resurrection of the church. See, we should be just as alive as Jesus was when he came out that tomb. But have we decided to be gardeners? We'll work around the church. We'll even work in the church. But ain't nobody coming out the tomb. But the place looks good. It's beautiful, it's fancy, it's nice. Then after a while, when you become like that, Jesus becomes the gardener. You don't even recognize why you're doing what you're doing. You're doing it out of religiosity. Instead of a resurrection life. People ask me, why are you so happy all the time? I'm alive. And doing well. Christ in me, the hope of glory. My God. That's why I'm not worried about all this stuff that people want me to worry about. Why would I do that? If he came out of the tomb, and he did, so did I. Amen. The difference is I ain't weeping about it. I'm going all over the world shouting about it, which makes people so mad. They're mad at me because I'm happy. Try it. You'll like it. Let me say it again. We gain spiritual light, see, because everything must be learned by the eye of faith, by the spirit of who that's inside of you. We gain spiritual light at the expense of intellectual perplexity. Now, let me get to this. The whole doctrine of the resurrection is the doctrine of the body, because, you see, even the pharaohs believed that they would still live, but never the body. That's why they mummified the body so that it would not decay. They weren't thinking that body was going to get up. But Jesus had a whole different view. He said, let's freak out the atheists. Let's freak out the other religions. Let's make the resurrection the doctrine of the body. We're going to take the body up. You notice that the angels and the young men, you go in all the different things, the gospels, you see that every one of them are young. That tells you when you get to heaven, you're not going to be old no more. You will have a youth look, a light look. There will be no more age. Think about that. It's going to be wonderful. You'll be able to run across the universe without getting out of breath. You can win the Crescent City Classic and beat the Kenyans. Think about that for a minute. The first, they see every angel in the Bible that people see have young looks. Yet they still try to make the father old with a beard. Because they think in terms of time. Time doesn't exist with God. He is. So let me say it again. When these things happen, when you see somebody heal, it's perplexing. Oh, I don't know if they're really healed. Because you see, but you gain spiritual light from things that you don't understand. Because you will never get it in your mind. And I'm going to say this, not critically. They say the greatest mind we have today is Stephen Hawking, the theoretical physicist. who has that terrible disease, ALS or some stuff. Well, the only thing that moves on him is this part of his body. He wrote an article not too long that God does not exist at all. Because now we know so much about science that God doesn't exist. As brilliant as that mind, if anybody, Mr. Hawkins, if you're watching this, if anybody needs to believe that God is real, you do. Because he's the only one can get you out that chair. But you see, it's perplexing. And yet the theoretical physicists, they give us theories that they preach as fact before it's proven. Let me make an announcement. The resurrection has already been proven. It's not a theory. This was not done in a corner, in the dark, back. I mean, people all over the place were seeing Jesus walking around. I mean, that right there ought to make you shout. But an unregenerated mind cannot handle that. They stole his body. What would you do with a dead body? Hold him up, because if you turn him loose, he's going to fall down. Now, there's someone had an inclination that he just might do that, and that was the high priest Caiaphas. He sent some soldiers to guard that tomb. Why do you send an army to guard a dead man? He ain't going nowhere. And they say, so they don't steal the body. Well, even if they stole the body, it still couldn't prove that he rose from the dead, because a dead person can't talk. Caiaphas said, he just might do this. Something was happening in Caiaphas' mind. He was perplexed, because no one could understand that a dead body would rise. Now, you should. He raised Lazarus from the dead. You see, even with evidence, the mind goes, I see it, but I don't believe it. So let me say it again. We gain spiritual light at the expense of intellectual perplexity. Religious light is created in the darkness of intellectual activity, reason, and research. Why? How does that happen? How does people not believe in God, or not believe in the resurrection, not believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Religious light is created in the darkness of intellectual activity, reason, and research. You see, it's all induction and reason, range, and research. They don't know for sure. Do you know now what we call black holes? Now we know they're real. But years ago, they called them black planets. They didn't know. You see, as they begin to know more, they think, and they said, that can't be. They got us believing something called dark matter and dark energy. We know it's there, but we don't know what it is. Would you gamble on that? Would you put your money up on that? Think about it for a minute. Now, do I believe there's dark matter? Do I believe there's dark energy? Yeah, I believe that. That's not the issue. But it didn't need to be proven. Why? See, they can't see it, but I can. How can you? What do you think's holding the galaxy together? They'd be slung all over the place. Everything is done around orbits. That's how Kathy got me. She orbited me for a while. Till she closed in for the kill. Orbits. What does the sun orbit around? The black hole that's in the middle of the Milky Way. All of it's doing it. See, we know it's there, but we can't prove it. Now watch this. But they expect you to believe what they say. When Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't do it in the back door with the doors closed in the corner in the dark. My God, he done it in front of everybody. Knocked down a bunch of military men. They paid them to shut their mouths. Over 500 people heard his last message he preached as he ascended into heaven. This is historical. This is not theory. And yet, range and research, induction and reasoning, religious intellect can't seem to grasp it. Let me say it again. Religious light is created in the darkness of intellectual activity, reason and research. See, the resurrection shows us that death is only an event in life, not the closing of it. It's only an event. In other words, the greatest miracle that will ever happen to you is still yet to come. You may have been healed of cancer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But when you come out of that grave, that's going to be the greatest miracle your body has ever, ever felt. You shall be changed. People are going to know you, but you're not going to look like you look now. Because you see, when Jesus rose, she didn't recognize him. Why? Because unbelief blinds you to the power of God. Amen. She was not expecting to meet him. So he's a gardener. And I'm going to get on that in just a minute. He was a gardener. Everything started out in the garden. We're going to deal with that in a few minutes. So the resurrection or death is only an event in life, not the closing of it. It's just an event. My mother went home to be with the Lord on Easter Sunday, 1982. I know where she's buried, but that's going to be an empty tomb. Amen. Oh, yes, indeed. Well, what about it all plastered up? It's in concrete. That don't mean nothing, Jesus. All those men that went down on the Arizona on December 7th, 1941, a date that will live in infamy. They knew the Lord. Their bodies have dissolved, being in water. That's 40-foot water right there. But like Pastor said, the least little DNA. I want to tell you something. When God's going to call, they're coming out of there. I've been to Pearl Harbor many times. And it's a shrine to the bravery of our military people. I've been in the Pacific Theater where they buried men that never came back home. I've been in the Punch Bowl where there were thousands and thousands of graves. Me and Kathy walk. I have to honor people who I didn't even know who died before I was born. I was born July the 9th, 1949. And that happened in 1941. They never came back. So when I get a chance, if I'm going overseas somewhere, I always give my respects to those who went before me. But how many times I've stood there, and I never told Kathy, I said, I wonder how many holes are going to be opened up when this thing kicks, buddy. I hope there are atheists standing by a graveyard when it happens. Amen. They're going to think it's World War Z or something. They're going to think science. Is that right? The name of that movie? I got to do something. Good God. It's going to be a great day. And here's the evidence of it. We're celebrating this now, Easter Sunday. And God is saying is, nothing can stop me from raising your body. Your spirit is with me, but we're going to connect together. Now, write this down. Mankind began his earthly career in the garden. So if you really think about it, Jesus is a gardener. What does a gardener do? He makes life come out. He takes away the old things. He clips and prunes, he or she. You go to read St. John 15, it's amazing how God clips it so you can produce more fruit. Not just some fruit, but more fruit. You see, so it started in a garden. See, God loves flowers and gardens. We are his plants that he sowed into this planet. That's why sometimes we get clipped. It's not that God's making us feel bad, so we can grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Amen. It's amazing when we have people that take care of our yard, when they come and change the winter stuff to the spring and summer stuff. And it's amazing, man. And I almost tell them, no, I don't want, don't take, because the winter stuff is still full until heat hits it. Boom, and it starts, they pull it away and they start off with just little bitty flowers about this big. I told Kathy, can't we buy some bigger ones? Tell them to give me some big ones. Give me some red ones. I don't know what they are. Give me some angry panthers. Is that what they call them? Agapanthers, whatever you call them, I don't know. Angry panther, I don't know the name of that stuff. I want some big ones. And you know what? They said, oh, they will get big. Just water them. Ah! Oh! That's what you put that water system in your yard for. All of a sudden, them little flowers just begin to do this. It's amazing to watch it do this. And it begins to grow. Why? It's being fed. That's why we ask you to come to this church, not so we can count you as a member, but there are too many Holocaust victims in churches. They're all skinny because they're not being fed. How do I know that? Travel with me. Travel with me. You'll see what I'm talking about. You know, Christians have been saved 40 years, are on the verge of spiritual death. Hadn't been fed one time, but have become religionized, if that's such a word. If not, I'll coin it. See, they don't have a gardener. Jesus said, be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children. I had a man ask me not long ago, he said, I can't get over how children love you. I said, well, I act like God. He was offended. What do you mean you act like God? I said, well, Jesus said, permit the children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. Children ran up to him. Why shouldn't children run up to me? How come children don't run up to you? Because you're not acting like God. See, children are innocence and purity. It's amazing, you know, what they do. And they can spot wrong quicker than most adults. They sense it because purity and innocence is very sensitive to anything else that's evil. Mankind began his earthly career in a garden. Now watch this. See, now we all in the garden. Some flowers in the garden have confused the ordinary gardener. See, the ordinary gardener is a person that may be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But really, even though he or she is in the executive branch of God's government, what they have is a job. They do their job, and then they're out the door. That's the ordinary gardener. Most people today don't know much about healing. If you get sick, well, hang on. If you're broke, busted, and disgusted, well, bless God, Jesus was poor, which is contradictory to the word of the Lord God Almighty. Jesus helped the poor. He became poor that you might become rich. That blows their socks off. What do you mean by poor? Well, no, he wasn't on welfare. You know, you got to have some kind of substance to feed 5,000 people with a 2-piece fish dinner. When the last time the homeless did that? When the New Orleans mission guy feed everybody in the church? Huh? So it wasn't poor. But you see, they're perplexed because they understand poverty, because the world understands curse. They don't understand freedom. They can't get over it. They don't. You can't be that free. Yes, you can. Let me help all of you people. You can live as long as you want. It's not according to God. That's what the church world tells you. That's what the secular world tells you. It's according to your tongue. Death and life is in the power of your tongue. Not your cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, DNA, family, whatever. I don't deny all that, but just change it. See, so a lot of times, the ordinary gardener doesn't like the flowers that are in his church. They call church problems. I never heard in the garden where God was grabbing flowers and just throwing them out the garden. He threw out the gardener. Get your butt out of here. Sin dug every grave you will ever see in your life. Do you realize how much real estate we would have if we didn't have cemeteries? Some of the prettiest real estate in the world is in cemeteries. They were not supposed to be. Sin dug those things. Every grave you ever see. When man sinned, the grave business came into existence. Some flowers in the garden have confused the ordinary gardener. Some are covered with prickles and wound the hands that would help them. There are some gardeners that God has placed in there. You try to help. But see, you've been so brutalized sometimes that you develop prickles and thorns. I've heard some black people in this church that they've been persecuted because they've been told, you go to that white church? We don't have a white church. We got a gold church. Ladies and gentlemen, this is real. This is real gold. You understand what I'm saying? That's real gold. We want church. We don't know what color you are. Some of my spiritual sons are black men, and some people come, "Is that your white daddy?" I say, I apologize for them. And sometimes people, I'll be standing with one of my black sons, my spiritual son, and they'll say, "How's he related to you?" I said, "He my son." They go. What is wrong? You see, religious perplexity. You see, they don't understand the resurrection because they don't expect to meet Jesus alive in church. Just like Mary Magdalene. So when he does walk up, you can't recognize him because you're not looking through with the eyes of light. It's not your fault. Because you hadn't been fed so you can have good vision. That's why we ask people to come to this church. Not so we can count you and get your money and all that stupid stuff. See, that's religious perplexity. That's all that is. I don't know about other ministers in this area, but I am living like I'm living in heaven. I'm in the environment of heaven, brother. Glory to God. I got a pretty wife, pretty daughter, pretty granddaughter. I got a halfway pretty son-in-law. There he is right there. No. I give Jay a hard time. He good looking too. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. In other words, I got a beautiful home. I got a nice car. I got a nice truck. If you want to talk about like that, I'm living just, if heaven came right now, it would be just Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Hey, Jesse. And I'm criticized for that. All I'm doing is being scriptural. His will be done where? 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 As it is where. I had a man not long ago coming to me and say, "I don't like you." I said, "If you knew me, you'd love me." He looked at me like I done lost my mind. I said, "I know me. I love me. I love what God created. When will you love what God created?" Instead of calling arrogance, cockiness, "Oh, why don't you say I love myself because I'm created in the image of God. I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out. I am what God says I am, no matter what anybody else says I am." See, I'm in the garden. The Lord walks with me in the cool of the day. Oh, my God. I enjoy his presence. When you meet the master gardener, you cannot be in better hands. Why? Because he will make the best of you. I let the Lord guide me and direct me. Kathy went to her mother's house yesterday. I decided to stay home. So her and Meredith, they went to Kathy's mama, and they were cooking or doing something like that. I just stayed home and I watched an old movie called Barabbas with Anthony Quinn. You see, he in the movie, and I thought, I was looking at that, he couldn't understand. He said, "I wish God would make himself more plain." You might have seen the movie, you know. God was totally plain. But he was thinking with, quote, actually a religious mind. He actually said some things to Pontius Pilate that Pilate didn't like. He said, "Me and you are the same. Difference is you just got the power." He said, "I don't know if I can believe in God." Then how come the person you don't believe in has disturbed your whole life? See, you don't realize that you do believe in him. But the problem is you expecting not to meet him. The reason why people don't get healed, they're expecting not to be healed. They know God heals, but will he heal me? Their expectation is not where it should be. You know, that is so true. Expectation is vital to receiving. Maybe you really do believe in him, but are you expecting to meet him right where you are? Oh, that's a whole nother ballgame, isn't it? Mary Magdalene wasn't expecting to meet Jesus, but when she did, what happened? I tell you, man, she became an evangelist. She proclaimed the gospel, the first one to ever proclaim that he was alive. Like I said, the resurrection was a revolution, and the greatest revolution. The resurrection showed that death is only an event in life and not the closing of it. What does that mean? Let me tell you something. When Jesus rose to the dead, I've said it so many times, when he rose, you rose. Do you understand that? I don't think a lot of people get that. Well, in other words, when that power came from Christ and he came out that grave, that power is inside of you. There ain't nothing you can't do. That's why God said all things are possible to them that believe. That's because of that resurrection power. My Lord. So when you got trouble coming your way, and you know the world's full of trouble, think about the resurrection power and then call upon it. Call that power that's inside of you to come out and take care of those situations. And you have the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus. I'm amazed. Can I just be honest with you? I'm amazed. Some people come up to me with a problem. I go, that's nothing. I don't mean that to be rude. I say, that's nothing. Pull on the power that's inside of you. Because it's in you. When Jesus came out of that grave, he put that power in each and every one of us. Oh, Lord. That's how I built this ministry, with resurrection power. The Lord said, now go to the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we do it every day with resurrection power. Kathy's coming right now with some great, glorious moments where you send in great testimonies that we can share with people. Kathy, take it away and bless the world now.
I'm so blessed to be with you today. Our God is so good and worthy of our praise. And this week, as we celebrate the victorious resurrection of Jesus, I want you to believe God for his power to manifest in your life greater than ever. I know that these testimonies that I'm about to read to you today will help you trust him for the miracle that he's waiting to deliver. Let's get started with a glorious moment from Derek. He wrote, "I was delivered from drugs by God, placing someone in the jail where I was. I heard his testimony, and it was a lot like my life. He told me how Jesus had changed his life. I really believe God sent that pastor to me. Thank you, Lord. God is so good, and we praise him for sending that pastor to you, too. I love how God always knows exactly how to minister his love and his life to his people. No one is ever out of his reach. 1 Timothy 2:4 in the NIV tells us that God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of his truth. So if you're believing God for your loved ones to come to the Lord, remember that they are linked up with you and you are linked up with God. No matter where they are or what they've done, God knows how to save them. Your part is to confess the word over them, pray for them, be merciful with them, and continue to claim them for God until they claim God for themselves." Isn't that awesome? Now, here's a great Easter praise from Don, who says, "I really enjoy Easter. Why? Because I was baptized on Easter Sunday 5 years ago." I love that. What a beautiful way to celebrate the power of Easter in your life. And here's another one. Chenisei writes, "It was on an Easter Sunday that God cleaned up my life." And lastly, Russell says, "My favorite memory of Easter is that is the day that I got saved." I love that. God is so good, touching people all over the world. Jesse will be right back after this.
With Total JDM, you get access to years of great messages from Classic Jesse through today.
You can have anything you can believe, spiritually, physically, and financially.
Always a message that will touch your life. Watch on your computer, your tablet, your phone, and more. Jesse, Kathy, anytime, anywhere. Total JDM. Go to TotalJDM.org and sign up today.
You know, don't you just love Easter? Because I do. It's more than chocolate rabbits, right? All day long. The power of the resurrection changed my life 43 years ago. I was set free because I met with the living Jesus. Watch it. A living Jesus, not a dead Jesus, a living Jesus. See, the power of the resurrection is real. The resurrection proves without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's the bright and morning star. And I could preach 4 hours right there on them titles. Man, I'm telling you what, Jesus is wonderful. Now, what does Easter mean to you? Have you met the living Jesus? Some people, you know, they go to church, but they don't know the Lord. They know about him, but they don't know him. Do you know him? Look what Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 says, that I may know, not just believe, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. When you understand the power of the resurrection, you're finally going to understand yourself. Because when he rose from the dead, we that are born again rose with him. Have you experienced that resurrection life? What is that resurrection life? John 10:10, that he came to give you life and that more abundant, more than you could possibly ask or think. See, if you don't know the Lord, I would be honored right now to introduce you to him. Can I pray for you? Father, there are people watching me today. I ask you to forgive them of all their sin. Lord, they believe with their heart, they confess with their mouth that you rose from the dead. They're not looking for a religious figure, they're looking for a Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving this lady, saving this man, ministering to them right now. And thank you, Jesus, that heaven is being filled with people that are praying this prayer right now because they're receiving eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you just pray that simple prayer with us, you know the Lord. Now, you know what's happening? You are carrying eternity inside of you right now. Never heard that statement before, huh? Yes, we that are born again, a lot of people don't realize that. You carry eternity inside of you. Good Lord. People say, why are you so happy? Because I got eternity inside me. Now, that's Easter. That's resurrection power. Ooh, I'm preaching right here. Can't help myself. Stay right there. I'll be back in just a moment. I want to show you something you'll be blessed by, and God's going to richly bless you. Watch this. People think failure is falling. No, failure is laying in the mud. Failure is staying where you are. Get up. Knock the mud off because you didn't fail. Failure is when you do nothing. Get the option of failure out of your mind and out of your mouth. Get it out. Failure is not an option. And if it's never an option, then you never will.
Now available from Jesse Duplantis for your April partnership of $50 or more. Request yours today at jdm.org.
You know, I preached this message to you and I watched it today with you and I got ministered to myself. If you'd like a copy of this message in its full entirety, all you got to do is go to jdm.org for all the information. You may want to get one for someone else. It's such a blessing. Partners, I can't thank you enough. I said it last week, I'm going to say it again. Your faithful financial support is so vitally important to this ministry. Not because it's money. No. It's because it sows into the kingdom. I mean that sincerely. And you've heard me say it. For every dollar given to this ministry, Lord, give me a soul. Because we bring joy into people's life. I get rid of discouragement, despondency, all kinds of junk. I refuse that because of the power of Jesus' name. Your faithful financial support helps us do that. I'm going to say something that's going to kind of sound shocking. Even children like me. I've never met a kid that did not like me. Isn't that something? You know why? Because I love children. And children are innocent. They're wonderful. They're blessings. And I get kids saved. That's your faithful financial support doing that. Nothing too small and nothing too big. So do something and you'll be blessed for 30, 60, and 100 fold. That's what I pray for every day for you. Also, for your April partnership of any amount, you can request my gift message of the month, Making No Provision for Failure. You can get it as a digital download or on CDs while supplies last. Father, bless my partners today financially because they're so faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Don't miss next week's show. Checkups always tell you what's up. That's some titles, isn't it? My God, get a checkup and you'll find out what's up. Praise God. We love you. Thank you, partners, for helping me. And I mean that graciously. We love you. See you. Bye-bye.